There's nothing you can do or say.
It's Joe and David for Pop News, and this is a story about a girl named Brittany. You are listening to Right Back At Ya, the 2000s pop music podcast where we have fun taking pop music seriously, hosted by What You See Is What You Get, He's Not That Innocent, David Lim, and Dear Diary, I just realised the girl in the mirror is me.
It's me. Joel,
that being 10, it's me. Now, David, this might be the first episode released exclusively on Hit Clips.
What a throwback. What an absolute throwback.
Now, David, I'm sorry if I caught you off guard with those references right at the beginning.
I love it.
I just heard you go, oh.
You know what? This is episode 94. It's time we switch things up. I would love it if, like, we just started an episode one day and I was just doing the intro.
Oh, go for it, darling.
I wouldn't even know. Do you that remember is really that one giving. Time?
Why does he do that? Why does he do that? I think it would be really good for me to give it a go.
Do you remember that one time we were recording something and I don't know for what reason, like maybe we wanted to add something at the end. And then I had to like do the outro as a result for this bonus recording. I can't remember which episode it was. And I was just there.
We split an episode in two. We did. Aussie girlies.
That's what it was. And then I had to just think, fuck, what does he say normally at the end of the episode? He has this spiel. Cause I'm like clocked off by that point, you know? It's like, I'm already like, you know, shutting down the windows on my screen.
He's down at the Brewers.
I'm down halfway at the Brewers already when that happens normally. See, I was like, oh, fuck yeah. What does he normally say? So yeah, maybe we will switch it up one day, but thanks for doing that.
No problem.
JB, people are going to be wondering, why has it taken us so long to do a Britney episode? Do you know, I looked up the last time we did Britney, and actually the first and only time we did Britney was episode 7 in 2018.
And this is now episode what? 92?
94.
Oops. Well, oops, we're finally doing it again. Well, why, David, did it take so long?
I don't know. I feel like, and you can, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, I think the last few years especially has been, I don't know, I feel like it's quite a bittersweet experience being a Britney fan. Yes. And I think sometimes it felt a little challenging as to whether it was the right tone or right time to celebrate her music when she seemed to be at odds with the music career. So it's kind of like, okay, what is the right thing to do at this point? And also I think you and I wanted to wait till the book comes out just to see how she how she was and what's her take on things. So that all kind of just added up over the years, I guess. What do you think?
I think my co-host said he hated this album.
No! And you wouldn't move on to another album until we did this one because you had to do it in order. There was no way we were skipping this album.
Absolutely not.
I love that you just just threw me under the bus right there.
No, you don't have to keep that in if you don't want to. But I think, as you say, it has had a beat. Time is a construct, and here we are at episode 90 whatnot. And it's time to get on that big Britney bus. You know, we see those pictures doing the rounds now and then of the Britney sort of tour bus or promo bus with, oops, I did it again, branding all over it. So let's imagine we're hopped on that bus and we are celebrating this album.
And there's a great revival and everything. And also earlier this year, there was a push the button night at the RVT dedicated to Britney. And I think that was done specifically to coincide with Crossroads coming out on Netflix. Joel, I've still not seen it. I really need to just sit down and see it. I mean, I know it was playing in the background when we were dancing at the RVT, but I need to actually hear what's going on because I have no fucking clue.
David, you are so lucky
that I'm not in the same room with you right now because you could have. Yeah. It could have just been a murder right now.
Call 911. Look, when we do that next episode, listeners, by the time we get to the Britney album, David will have watched it. But David, I want you to wait and let's watch it together and have loads of fun.
Look, I'm really excited to get into this album. It took me a minute. Yes, as my co-host outed me. It really, like, I'm listening to this album in full in 2024. Like, for the first time, really. Shameful, but disgusting. You know, we've had many episodes where Jolie is the one that's discovering the albums that we talk about in present day. So it feels only right that I get thrown into the deep end as well. So sorry, Britney stans and Britney fans. Like, my kind of preference really starts with the third album. So I'm just skipping back a little.
You know, as I've been on several episodes, absolutely never too late. But I can't wait to really dive into this fun moment in pop music today. This is like the first two albums of Britney is really that when people think of the stereotypical Britney and the teen boom of this time, this is it. So I cannot wait to just have so much fun doing it today. So David, we just did our fabulous interview with Hannah Robinson, didn't we? And we just need to give a shout out to everyone. It really feels like you all enjoyed the episode as much as we did. And we're still so honored that Hannah came on. And we are loving to see how much you are living with some of the incredible stories that Hannah shared with us. Honestly, we are not worthy.
It is so funny seeing the reactions. And it's really touching when people be like, oh, I'm going to listen again for the second time today. Also, JB, my favorite was this one particular Twitter account. Like, they changed the bio to, I want a Whopper, fuck the Big Mac.
I mean, that is really like, that makes you feel like you've made it, doesn't it?
It does. It feels like it was a moment in pop culture happening before our eyes. Yeah. I want a Whopper, fuck the Big Mac. Do you know what, Jerry? Now is the perfect time to do your Just Eat commercial song.
Do you know what? It's better than ever to jump on that.
It just feels so empowering to be ordering food online. Do you know what I mean?
You know, you can order it on your phone and then it comes to you. And you know, there's so many ways to get it: Uber Eats, Just Eat, Deliveroo, but it's all food power.
Look, we're getting carried away. This is not even a Jerry episode. If you guys want to see us do a Jerry episode, please. You don't even need to push us that much. It's already happening. No.
Anyway, big shout out to that. Thanks so much, guys, for listening, sharing. But if you are loving what we're doing, please do leave us a lovely 5-star review wherever you are listening to this podcast. Hit that subscribe button, share it with a pop-loving friend, and follow us on all socials at Right Back Pod. Right, Davo, let's jump back in to our Britney Jean.
Yes, we're getting on board that Oops, I Did It Again promo bus, all the way magically transporting back to the year 2000. Just to give you guys a bit of context, we are, of course, today talking about Britney's second album, Oops, I Did It Again. It came out in the year 2000, which is kind of wild to me, Joel, because, and I have this conversation almost at least once a week in the office, there are people in the office that weren't born at this time.
Yeah.
That really scares me and disturbs me.
Yeah, I normally have that benchmark with the Spice Girls, like if you were born when Wannabe came out. But now, like, probably within, that was like 5 years ago, really, realistically, and I need to update it because I have then colleagues bought in 99 and I'm like, oh my God, you were only born just in time for Holla.
Just made it out the womb in time for that MTV EMA's performance.
But yeah, so now that it's moved on to Britney, and not even just debut Britney, that Britney's second album.
Like, that is unacceptable.
That is absolutely unacceptable. The girl I managed, and we get on so well, and our tastes are so aligned, but then she couldn't name all 5 Spice Girls. And I said, well, I'll be bringing this up in our next one-to-one.
Sackable offence, really.
HR, like, don't worry. We've got this covered.
So, Joel, yes, we are back in the year 2000. This album, Oops, I Did It Again, arrives just a year after Britney's monumental debut, Baby One More Time. That album would go on to sell over 30 million worldwide. She's only 18. She's performing at the Grammys this year, where she is nominated for the very first time. Baby One More Time was up for Best Female Pop Vocal Performance, and she was also up for Best New Artist, but it went to Christina Aguilera. deserved. You know, we love all the girls.
We love all the girlies. Shout out. There should have been a joint top four.
Now, Britney had already, at this point, done her first national tour the summer before in 1999. 57 dates across North America. That tour grossed $1.7 million. And even before the first single of this second album comes around, she's back touring America again.
Second tour.
Yeah, but albeit a shorter stint, it's only 25 dates, but it's still...
25 bloody dates, mate, yeah.
So it's in this tour that she started previewing songs from the second album, including, obviously, the title track, the lead single. So it's kind of nice to give fans a little preview there.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, she's so busy. It makes sense. Like, how else is she going to start promoting it? You've got to start just literally giving it to the fans on tour.
By this point, the American teen pop movement was really in its imperial phase. You know, not only did we have Britney and Christina, but also our other faves, Jessica Simpson, Mandy Moore, as Joel would call it, his Fab Four.
Absolutely.
But also NSYNC was huge at this time. Their third album, No Strings Attached, was bloody huge, and that came out this year. So it really feels like there was this big American takeover. I don't know what you felt about that, Joel, living here in the UK.
Yeah, there was that absolute huge switch, wasn't there? It was like this teen pop boom, which was everyone's sights as starting from the Spice Girls in 96 onwards, that is then, it's kind of like unofficially the baton was handed over to Britney in a way. Britney, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC to be huge, then every label needed, wanted, had their own version of those on their label. And in the best way, it was all inescapable.
Yeah, like you said, it does feel like the handing of the baton from, say, Spice Girls and Steps and Backstreet Boys, because, I mean, 2000, Spice Girls was coming to an end, really, once Forever came out. Mm. And then Steps and Backstreet Boys were released their greatest hits in 2001. So again, it does feel like, yeah, a new generation was coming up. And safe to say, Britney was leading it. You know, she was really coming into her power in the second album era. You know, the success of the second album was so crucial because it kind of showed everyone that she's no flash in the pan. The bigger hits are still coming.
So on that note, David, shall we absolutely get into it? So yeah, as you've already said, March that year, she's on her tour. She's performing Oops, I Did It Again every night before it's even out. That ends on April 24th. With a concert in Hawaii, which Destiny's Child were the support act for. And Britney's concert that night was filmed as a televised special, Britney Spears Live in Hawaii. So, Davo, here we are, April 2000, the lead single off her second album, Oops, I Did It Again. Again, written by Max Martin and produced by Max Martin and Rami Yacoub. All I can say is lightning doesn't strike twice, but here it has. It does feel like they have gone, okay, we want to do Baby One More Time Again, but it can feel sort of like an unofficial sequel to it or a continuation of Baby One More Time. It's in the same world. Maybe it's Baby One More Time's like cooler older sister.
Now, Joel, even before we get into this song, can we talk about the gorgeous artwork, which is like the most beautifully Y2K picture of Britney? And, you know, when I think of Y2K Britney, two particular photo shoots come to mind. First is the one with her, I think it was around Born to Make You Happy, where she had the bob and that iRobot. You know, that robot dog.
Oh my God, yes.
Everyone was obsessed with that robot dog. Did you not want one? I begged my parents for one. I was way too old to be having one of those things, but I begged them.
And did the robot dog, it didn't do anything. It just was a robot dog.
It moved.
I know. What more do you want? And now that's the same robot dog that our Katie Underwood's got in the Bardot front cover of the debut album.
Yeah.
But yes, Britney and that doggo.
Britney and that doggo. And then second image is the Oops, I Did It Again single cover with Oh, the wow. shapes.
This shape is made at the same factory as the orange chair.
That the Spice Girls Forever photo shoot, yeah.
Yeah, like a double sofa-y.
That could also be like an office divider. Like, it could be a lot of different things.
It could be, it is, and it is a lot of different things. That's the joy of it. It's everything and more. That's how they sell it to you. And I will say this, like, blue outfit that she's got on, when I think of Y2K, it's this colour and this material that I think of. Those are my favourite go-tos. If I'm ever creating a mood board of this aesthetic and era, that is the first kind of look and material I'm thinking of. Steps also did it in the, I think, the Better Best Forgotten video. Now, do you think this is the same photo shoot as the Oops, I Did It Again album, or a different photo shoot?
Thank you to internet detectives and sleuths, because I found out for the first time that this entire album photo shoot was done at Lenny Kravitz's home in Miami.
Legendary.
This is the most glamorous Y2K home ever. I mean, that sexy furniture thing with the shapes, that is actually part of it. But also that famous album cover of her with the, not chandeliers, what are they, like curtains?
Some girlies would have it on their bedroom doors.
Yeah.
And also in some, like, people's blinds. Back doors, like a beaded sort of blind cover.
God, people really were into those types of blinds, weren't they, at the time?
Yeah.
And to me, it was so annoying because when you're walking in and out, everyone can hear you.
Can't be discreet.
My Grindr dates would hate it.
They would hate it. Well, that's why, maybe that's why we don't see it anymore. The gays had to put a stop to it.
Apparently he met Britney at the VMAs, said, look, my daughter's always a really big fan, would love to meet you. And then next thing you know, she was doing photo shoot at their home. It's like, that is the best fucking meet and greet experience ever.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it's not just his daughter. That is like the fabulous Zoe Kravitz.
Yes. And she shared a picture on her Instagram from this day of her cuddling Britney in front of, you know, those the mirrored blinds that we were talking about. And then there's a picture of Lenny Kravitz hugging Britney as well in that same setup. So what a fabulous day, and how wonderful to have that.
I mean, all I can say is I hope they have not redecorated. I hope they've preserved this Y2K glory at that venue, at their home. I'm sure they've got several homes, so I'm saying at that one specifically.
I don't know what's happened to this home, but yeah, it really needs to be like National Heritage enlisted.
It really needs to be.
It needs that protection.
It does.
Yeah.
It does. It does. Us protesting outside.
What's the name of the local councillor there? Let me write in to the mayor of that city or that township.
Let's get back to this Lightning Striking Twice song. You know, it's 2 years on of that beautiful Max Martin Swedish pop gold dust song. It's got a little bit harder, a little bit edgier beats, that little bit more. Oh, how this music is so good. You just feel it in your bones when you hear this song and these types of songs. I think even that it's 2000, as part of this song, there are references to the major motion picture of 1997, Titanic, based on real life events. So it's just also interesting of like how these songs are such huge pop culture moments, but they're interweaving with films that are such huge pop culture moments as well, that all does just encapsulate it in literally a time capsule.
Brittany, before you go, there's something I want you to have.
Oh, it's beautiful. But wait a minute, isn't this?
Yeah, yes it is.
But I thought the old lady dropped it into the ocean in the air.
Well, baby, I went down and got it for you.
Oh, you shouldn't have.
The Jack and Rose dialogue from this song is just absolutely signature of that particular time. But also, I love that it has a connection to another lyric in the song where she just goes, you know, I'm dreaming away, because it's kind of, she's playing this character now in this song where it's like, she's a coquettish bad girl who just wants a bit of fun, a bit of ding-a-ling, you know, it's just a fling, baby. Like, it's not that serious, you know, I'm just dreaming away. You know, like, I'm just messing with you.
You would stereotypically maybe just have that in the music video version and it wouldn't be on the song. There would be, you know, songs are no strangers to spoken word bits, but when they're so narrative led like this, they would normally be just in the music video only. But it is what makes the song. I still to this day really want, and it's because of Britney, I do want a really cheesy, tacky I'll Never Let Go necklace.
Okay, so your boyfriend is listening. So Valentine's Day or your next big anniversary, Alex, take note.
Yeah, literally the cheapest, tackiest thing you can find.
Go to wish.com.
Yeah.
Joel's already got an account there. Yeah, just use his account.
David Lim, I think we should move on to the accompanying music video, because if lightning really was striking twice, this music video is directed by Nigel Dick, who did direct the Baby One More Time video and S Club Seeing Double. Now, this video, Davo, shows our Britney Jean as someone that lives on Mars. So I'm going to say she's an alien, even though they don't, you know, the brief doesn't say alien. She is in this red bodysuit, which literally history was made.
2 decades worth and counting of Halloween outfits.
And counting. Yeah,
literally. So signature. Apparently this was Britney's idea. You know, I think from what I read, she had 2 main points she wants to get across for the video. She wants to be on Mars and she wants a red leather, a red play suit. That's what she wanted to be in. And of course, what Britney wants, she must get. Joel, rewatching this video again, I kind of forgot how much of a comedy piece this was. Like, it was actually very tongue-in-cheek in a Teen Choice Awards kind of sketch way. You know what I mean?
Like, Britney gave us mini teen movies in these music videos. They could all be adapted into different films. And this would be a intergalactic 2000s space odyssey rom-com. Britney and her dancers are all gorgeous aliens and giving us what I would say is arguably her most iconic dance routine. It's my favorite routine. She has technically better routines, more impressive routines, but this one just makes my heart fall. I just love the arm movements. They're so referenced all the time. If you're going to reference Britney, it would be these dance moves.
Do you know what's really nice about this video as well? It's just like the way they tease Britney's appearance in it in the opening shots. You know, they don't want to give it to you straight away. Baby One More Time, opening shot is her, isn't it, on the desk? Like, you see Britney.
Yeah.
But this, they know people are going to be anticipating that first glimpse of what is Britney going to look like in this video. They tease it with a close-up of one eye, and then it goes to a close-up of her lips, gorgeous lip gloss, quivering. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, it is zooms in on the cat suit going upwards. And then finally, the full shot of Britney is her coming down on this metal platform with devil horns, flames shooting. You're like, that is how you make an entrance.
It's theatre in a music video. It's spectacle. And that has set up generations and generations to be absolutely disappointed if they ever make it to Mars. If you go to Mars and that don't happen, can you believe?
And the makeup was so fresh, you know, the way they use the white bits of highlights around her eyes just to make it really natural and really just, you know, the song is saying I'm not that innocent, but really the glam and the outfit actually is innocent-ish, you know. It's not sexy, but obviously it's figure-hugging. It's accentuating.
Yeah.
Her sensuality, but it's not raunchy. Obviously, a lot of discussion goes into these types of things with Britney, especially at this point in her career, because there was so much stuff going on in the press about is she too sexualized?
Mm.
Even the lyrics of this song is playing with this image of her perceived innocence.
Let's talk about the single B-side, Davo, Deep In My Heart. So this isn't on the album. It's not even, unfortunately, it's not on the B-sides and remixes vinyl of Oops that I've got. But Britney was performing this back in her 1998 Mall appearances. So this has been in Britney's repertoire for a long while. And it actually was on the international version of Baby One More Time.
New songs from the second album they want to tease, give fans? Like, why wheel this one out? Because it doesn't really work, I don't think.
I think it's an absolute banger.
It's giving us Club 7, which is probably why you love it.
What we will see in this whole album campaign is it is straddling one foot in the last album and one foot in the next album.
What you're saying is really true and very symptomatic of this time, because they were very conscious about still marketing Britney to a younger teen audience, and they don't want to rock the boat too much. So having that balance of more kid-friendly, softer, more like early teen boppy songs is probably wise as she's growing up her image.
Also, David, I really want to give a shout out to the Rodney Jerkins remix of this song. I sent it to you earlier today. It is certainly a bit of you.
It is very much a bit of me, yes. I love it. Anything Dark Child injected in my veins, yes.
Because we will see he has a little fingerprint on the album. It's like, I wonder how this happens in terms of who's producing a song, who's going to remix it.
It really does feel like it's very much Max Martin's thing, and maybe the label, maybe Max or whatever it is, maybe Britney, maybe management was kind of like, okay, that really works. Let's make sure we keep that continuity and not introduce too many different writers or producers. We will get more newer names involved in album two, but they don't really push the boat out.
So, Davo, Britney did some incredible performances of this song. I mean, we'll see her to continue that throughout her career. One of my favourites from this time is her performance from Saturday Night Live. It's her, the dancers, having a good time. Tiny sort of paired back from Britney because there are some live vocals. It's just a brilliant, well-rounded performance. We must also acknowledge she's showing a bob now in the live performances. So she's got all the long hair for the video, but Britney's back and she's got a bit of a bob.
Yeah, I love the bob. It looks so fresh. It looks incredible on her.
I think of all performances, there is one that is the most memorable of this song. It is the 2000 MTV Video Music Awards. Britney Jean Spears opens singing her cover of I Can't Get No Satisfaction in a, I want to say trilby hat and a suit. She then ends the song, throws off the hat, rips off the suit, and goes into Oops, I Did It Again in a flesh-coloured, glittery trouser bra combo.
You see, my problem is this. Dreaming away, wishing that the arrow so truly exist. I cry watching the days. You see, I'm a fool in so many ways. But to
this performance is absolutely electric.
The picture of her performing with the snake obviously is iconic, but before that, we had this performance and those pictures were everywhere. I remember opening magazines and stuff and just the glittery flesh-coloured bra and the trousers, like those were the pictures of Britney. And at that time, it was a little bit shocking.
She's just being Britney.
There was a little bit of an uproar about the ensemble. I sent you a clip before this episode where I came across this interview of her. And who said yes to Britney doing this, by the way? This is a fucking bad move.
Whose idea was this, honestly?
The idea was they sit Britney down and film her watching people's reactions to her VMA performance. So they must have gotten a reporter out on the streets to do vox pops with strangers, put it together in a reel. Some were positive, some weren't so positive. And Britney had to sit there and just sort of watch it and just...
disgusting.
And it's just like, it's not fun.
She can wear what she decides to wear, but I think that she should just watch what she wears at times and where she is sometimes for little children.
Most of her fans are the younger generation. So, I mean, yeah, of course, in that aspect, if you're looking at it that way, then yeah, maybe her clothes were a little over the edge. But, I mean, she does have, I like her, you know, I mean, I have friends that like her, and I'm 27 years old, so I would totally rock that outfit. You know, if I had to rock it, I would rock it.
Sorry.
I think she's fake, because she plays off like, I'm a good little country girl, but then she walks around wearing absolutely nothing, so.
They're entitled to their opinion, you know, what can I say? I'm not going to judge them or whatever. But it's like, you know, I can, like I said, I'm not the children's parents, you know, and I mean, I've just got to be me.
Britney can dress however she wants, and also, I know it was a long time ago, but it wasn't controversial, really. Like, it's a bra top and some flared trousers. Like, she's doing a dance routine.
I think middle America were really worked up about it, judging by those vox pops from future Karens.
She then, from this performance and look, inspired my girl Heidi Montag to recreate this look in a nod to this look for her Miss Universe performance in 2009 performing Body Language. She rips off her suit jacket and then she has a very similar to the Britney flesh glittery number.
Now, JB, I just want to, before we move on, just want to give a quick shout out to the Today Show performance that she did around... I mean, it was about a month after the album came out, but it was a really big TV promo look. That thing that the Today Show does, you know, where they hold these outdoor concerts. Britney does three songs with a live band. So she does Baby One More Time, of course. Lucky and Oops, I Did It Again. But do you know what? Like, the band, like, this song with a live band absolutely slaps. I love it.
Also for Oops, her and NSYNC did a McDonald's collab, which is, you know, an absolute rite of passage. So there were commercials.
I wonder if she said, I want a Whopper, fuck the Big Mac backstage.
She said, she actually said, fuck the Whopper.
I want a Big Mac.
I fancy a Big Mac. I want a Big Mac. And that is why I'm doing a collab with Britney, myself, and NSYNC. So as part of that, it was Britney, it was NSYNC, it was commercials. Some of them was like more of a behind-the-scenes look of them arriving. Another one, really strangely,
arriving
was them
where? At a McDonald's?
At a Mackie Days or wherever. another one was them sat around playing Spin the Bottle. I don't know really what that had to do with McDonald's. And then another one was... Britney performing a bit of Oops, the guys doing a bit of Bye Bye Bye. I believe it was that you would get a CD with your Happy Meal.
Ooh,
love that. I mean, if they did that collab again now, I would run and get a Happy Meal quicker than you can say anything. So Oops was nominated for a Grammy, Devo. Best Female Pop Performance in 2001. But she lost out to Macy Gray. I can't remember before what someone lost out to Macy Gray. I can't remember if it was this or something else.
It was something else. This song, I Try, keeps coming
powerful.
Up and like just keeps injecting itself into our shows.
And then on the real flip side, to really show what time we're in, so Britney's lost out on a Grammy to Macy Gray. She also lost out on Favourite Song at the 2001 Kids' Choice Awards to Who Let the Dogs Out by Baha Men. Also at the 2000 MTV VMAs, she was nominated for Best Female Video, Best Dance Video, and Best Pop Video, and the Viewer's Choice. However, disgracefully, after giving you that once-in-a-lifetime performance, she lost out in all categories. But it's an honour just to be nominated.
I bet Britney was just making a note about all these things, like just quietly in her little Dear Diary. And then, when the moment was right to present to the VMAs committee... She's like, you owed me all this. It's time to tally up and give me that Vanguard Award.
And that they absolutely did. So Charts for Oops, I Did It Again. Number one smash hit in Australia. Thank you, David.
You're very welcome.
Number one here in the UK as well. Thank you, myself. Number one in Romania. Thank you, Seb. And number one in Italy. Thank you, Alberto. So
we're just going to thank all our friends in their respective countries. And if we didn't have friends in that country, it's not getting read out.
Yeah, number two in Ireland. What were you guys thinking? And in America, it went in at number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the US mainstream Top 40.
I think entering at number 9 on the Hot 100.
It peaked at number 9. I don't know if it entered it.
Okay, got it.
It peaked, sorry.
Yeah. Do you know, Joel, this would go on to be the second biggest selling song of the year 2000 behind Madonna's Music. Now that is incredible.
Wow.
Legends only in the top 2 spots. And do you know what else I found interesting? Here in the UK, Oops is only Britney's 4th biggest single. Do you want to guess what the other 3 are ahead of it?
Baby One More Time.
Number 1, yes, correct. Number 2?
Toxic.
Correct. Number 3, I bet you'll never guess
Scream
this one.
Scream and Shout.
You've looked. Okay, you've looked.
I have not looked.
You're just that good. You're just like a Britney fan. You're just that studied up. Okay.
Well, it's because Scream and Shout was a big deal of being Britney's like first UK number one in a long time.
1.3 million units here. That is insane.
So, Davo, literally no rest for our Brit. May, she's knocking it out of the park with Oops, I Did It Again, the album.
Which you have on vinyl.
Right here.
Yeah. And you have, here you just showed me something else before you have on vinyl. What was it again?
The Oops, I Did It Again remixes and B-sides, which was a Record Store Day release. Side 1, 4 remixes, side B, B-sides. And then it is a shoot. It's not the shot we were talking about, but it's from the same shoot on the back.
Yep.
Of the Oops, I Did It Again front cover that we love.
That blue pleather outfit. Yep. Absolutely gorgeous. So, Joel, work started on Britney's second album in September 1999, literally just a few months after the first album came out. They couldn't wait. They were like, this is hot. We need to get going on the next thing because let's go, let's go, let's go. So we've got Max Martin, Rami Yacoub again, and a bunch of the Swedish pop songwriters and producers that work with them both. But also this time on the album, we've got Darkchild involved and Robert Mutt Lange and Shania Twain. So what a combo that is. And Auntie Diane Warren. So
she had to be there.
They pulled in the big guns. They pulled in all the big guns for this one. But I love Darkchild, as you guys probably know. The contribution to this album is not what I was expecting. It's not what I wanted.
It's interesting, isn't it? Do you think they did more stuff?
They must have done
more stuff. Or they
just
had no time and they just did this song.
It just feels like a great waste of money to have Darkchild on your album and do a Rolling Stone cover.
It also doesn't sound very Darkchild-y.
Darkchild doesn't really get the good stuff in this album. You know, we know the stuff that he can do.
Is there anything from Rodney's back catalogue of this time that you think would have worked well for Britney to do?
There's so many songs.
Holla.
Holla, holla. Oh, yeah. Make you scream my name.
You can hear Britney's voice on We Can Go All Night Long. That's not me doing a Britney impression, but like you could hear Britney's voice doing that. Doing things you thought you would never do.
Doing things you thought you would never do. Ow. Oh, that would have been so raunchy. Anyway, we're getting carried away. The final result of this album was an incredible mix of pop, dance pop, teen pop, but also we're really getting a bit more of the funk and R&B flavors in there. The production, the quality, Britney's vocal performance. I actually think this is like much better. So much better than the first album. And
are you joking?
No, I'm not. I'm being serious. I think it's so much better than the first album. Am I wrong?
Oh, my God.
Do you disagree?
I mean, I think her vocals are always amazing, but the vocals on that first album are incredible. It feels like the first album, we start with deep voice Britney, and every album after is a further step away from it.
Mm, this is true.
But she sounds incredible, don't get me wrong. But I wouldn't say, oh, it's better.
But also what I really enjoyed listening to this album for the first time this year is how cohesive it is lyrically and thematically. You know, it has a clearer point of view than the first album, I would say. You know, Britney's coming across a lot more empowered. This is a strong young woman who is unafraid to be a little more unapologetic about what she wants. You know, the clues are all there. Even in the cover, I can't get no satisfaction. Like, she's trying to tell you something here.
All right, well, let's kick off, Devo, with highlights.
Do you have to go first? Come on, like, this is your album. Go on, JB, give us the first one.
So I'm going to go out strong with what I feel like is a Britney anthem of this time. What you see is what you get. Now, this is an absolute banger. It also feels like Britney's FU to the haters at that time, still in a teen-friendly pop way.
It is both a message to the media and people out there, but also really when you look at the lyrics, it's dressed in Britney warning a jealous and possessive boyfriend to lay off. Like,
yeah,
you know, it goes, I know you watch me when I'm dancing, when I party with my friends. I can feel your eyes on my back. I can't have no chains around me, baby. Can't you see? I could be anything you dream of, but I gotta feel free. I don't know why I've gone Southern, but it's just when I think of Britney, I just think of a Southern.
You're a Southern Belle.
I just become a Southern Belle. I love the lyrics of that. I love that it is strong for a girl to say that.
It ends with a voicemail from Britney, which is fun, lovely.
People love a voicemail on an album at this time.
We love it. I love the spoken word interludes throughout the whole album. It gives you kind of almost concept or a sleepover or just like a girl's time, a snapshot into like Britney's world. It ends though with the guy saying, hey, Britney, you're such a nerd for like being silly. Remember that thing you were telling me about that girl when she had all the fame, but she wasn't happy? Don't you think that'd make an interesting song? I was accidentally listening to this album on shuffle and it went into Stronger. And I'm like, oh my God, that's so much more empowering.
Yeah.
All right, Devo, what's the first standout for you?
The one that's really coming to the forefront for me, apart from the song you talked about, is Can't Make You Love Me.
Oh, fantastic. But I can't.
Now, Joel, I've been listening to this album in the gym, and let me tell you, this slaps when you're in a workout because they don't waste time. The beat just gets going straight away. I love that it's emotional, it's dramatic. It's just everything I need from a Y2K Swedish pop-produced song of this time. It's done by Christian London, again from Max's team or cohort or camp or whatever it is. He did Quit Playing Games With My Heart for Backstreet Boys and also Tearing Up My Heart for NSYNC.
Banger. Oh, my favorite.
Banger. This is Britney singing about how her life has changed. You know, everything around her is a little more A-list now, but she's still the same girl that has a crush on this guy.
Still that Southern Belle.
Still that. I'm just a girl from Kansas. You know what I mean? I don't know why she said, you know what I mean? Jerry style.
And she's not from Cat. I'm just going really cockney trying to do that. Do you know what I mean? Brittany's not from Kansas either.
She's not from Kansas. Where's she? Louisiana?
Louisiana.
I'm sorry. I'm getting my states all mixed up, you know. Next thing you know, I'll be saying I'm from Watford. But I love the theme of this song being, yeah, she's just an ordinary girl who has a crush on this guy, but she's now wondering if her lifestyle and her success is coming in between this guy liking her back. It's very like only something you would find on a second album or like once a pop star's famous. Should be happy with the life I live and the things that I do seem to have it all. But I can't make you love me. Is it my life or the things that I do?
You got the part, the night of Britney slam poetry.
Could she have done this as a second single? Do you think it would be well received?
What, instead of Locke?
Yeah.
Yes, but Do you not think they purposely went for, like, not two in-your-face bangers in a row? They were like, look, these kids, these teens, these gays, we know they've got stamina, but we can't keep them on the dance floor. Like, we need to let them slow down for a bit. So if you would want to do this for the second single, what would you have done for the music video?
Oh, it will be dramatic. It will be acting, for sure.
Yeah.
Because everything is in the song.
Would she be, like, lucky? Like, would she be a star falling for a normal boy, a normal southern boy?
But, yeah, it's the throwback scenes to them just having a normal, quiet life in Louisiana and then just cutting to her on the red carpet, all the missed calls on her mobile phone that she's only seeing when she gets in a limo. You know, it's just like the kind of near misses. You know, she's driving by in her limo and she doesn't realize he's in town and he's just having dinner just outside the window and they just miss each other. It's those moments. Oh, I should be a video director. In another life, I was a video director, I feel. Yeah.
David, you were with your Melanie C music video at uni. So Britney is a star like Lucky, and it's interwoven with flashbacks of the year before. Her and this boy, they're leads in the school play.
Oh,
and they fall
yes.
in love with each other.
Oh, yes.
But she's then plucked out into superstardom, and she is in this 1 year global superstardom, and she's still pining for this boy. But as you're saying, they're just like ships in the night. They are missing each other.
I'm tearing up thinking about this.
She'll be on stage, but then she'll have a flashback reminding of what it was to be like on that little stage at high school.
Oh.
Or she'll see a guy and she'll think it's him and she'll flash seeing him, but it's not him. It's Leonardo DiCaprio.
We need to stop because someone listening will turn this into a Netflix film and we won't get any money for this. If you want more, DM us. We've got the full treatment.
Yeah, we are available as always. I would say this is my joint fave of like up-tempo pop number on the album with What You See Is What You Get. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot. So
we've kind of picked the same things so far, so yeah.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this won't be one for you, but I love it unashamedly. It is I Can't Get No Satisfaction, the Rolling Stones cover. But to me, this is the definitive version of the song. It's a bit edgy.
Did you know it was a Rolling Stones song before this happened?
I think I knew it was a cover, but I can't say I would have gone at 9 years old. That's the Rolling Stones. Although Wendy would love me to, because she does. She loves the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. She didn't pick one or the other. She's the original. When people were saying Britney or Christina, Wendy Babbs in the 60s was saying, why would I pick? I like them both.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, she's raised you well as a result. You know, it shows in your unbiasedness, in your inclusivity of all faves.
Yeah, I'm like, sassy nine-year-old, it's not actually Britney or Christina, it's the Fab Four.
All blonde pop stars matter, excuse me.
Yeah, I just love it. I love the, like, the soft, gentle start, like the la la, la la la, la, like it's like a delicate little flower blooming. And then she's starting the song and then it kicks in and it gets dead rocky. She has changed the lyrics slightly. Instead of how white my shirts could be, it becomes how tight my skirt should be. I think if this was a single, we might all feel differently about it. I'm not saying it should have been a single, but I think it just would sit with us a bit more.
I think what's nice about this song is a lot of the Rolling Stones music were rooted in blues and soul music. So it really gave Britney a chance to kind of try that style of singing and, you know, that kind of soulfulness in this song. The bluesy tones really is something different for Britney, so I can see why she wanted to do something like this. Yeah,
but it naturally sits well with a southern girl.
This is going to be so... I'm so sorry, guys. I've started something and it's infectious and now we're just two Southern guys just sitting here shooting the breeze.
This is what happens in London. We get one drop of sun and we lose our shit and we become Southern Bales. So, Davo, what else stands out for you in this album?
No surprise to anyone, but I'm going to pick Don't Go Knocking on My Door.
Time is up. No more cheating lies. No more tears to dry. You now are like so bye-bye. Finally, I am over you. Totally, I'm blue and I hear myself say you.
So this is the one, Joel, that I thought was actually a Dark Child record the first time I was listening through, because it does have the, I'm not saying Max has plagiarized or was inspired by, but, you know, the very Y2K guitar scales, you know, in the beginning, very Dark Child. He's used that before.
Classic.
So I was kind
Classic
of like,
Rodney.
Oh, I was like, oh, okay. But obviously, you know, anything kind of in this intersection of R&B and teen pop, very much a bit of me.
To be a bit controversial, it's not my favourite on the album. It sounds maybe more like an NSYNC song than a Britney song. And it is a banger, but I just don't think it matches the level of the other singles and the other album tracks that are like big ticks for me. And I think it's a bold, track three. I would hide this in a more like track seven. So, for me, David, I want to go a bit soppy and smoochy.
All right, Mel B. We're back in Leeds. Yep.
I want to talk about Dear Diary.
Oh, I knew you would bring this one up. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Stunning ballad. And here, if we're talking about the light and shades of this album, this is one that's still keeping one hand in the world of Baby One More Time. This is like an audio version of like Dawson's Creek or a teen film. It's Britney saying, "Dear Diary, today I found a boy. Diary, tell me what to do." You know, it's a bit like if Belle from Beauty and the Beast is a teen pop star and she's writing in her diary.
Dear Diary, today I saw a boy and I wondered if he noticed me. He took my breath away. Dear Diary, I can't get him off my mind, and it scares me cause I...
Also, this is the first... Is this Britney's first songwriting credit on her album?
Let's double check. I think... no, nothing on the first album, so yeah.
Wow, there you go. Get that in, Britney, yeah.
We know Britney excels when she puts pen to paper and comes up with a ballad. Like, this is the woman that in a few years will give us Every Time, which was Britney sitting at the piano figuring that out. So, Davo, just while we're soppy and smoochy, just before we move on, I do want to keep in that world with international bonus track. Here it was a UK special edition track, Girl in the Mirror. Now, to me, David, this is this album's Email My Heart. It is a stunning, gorgeous vocal from out Britney. The girl in the mirror is me.
There we go. We have the Cheryl version there. And she actually does have an album track called Girl in the Mirror as well, Al Shez. I will say, even though I don't particularly like the mid-tempos of ballads
Soft
on this album very
smooch.
Much. Yeah, it's not really my vibe, but I will say the vocals are incredible. This one's written by Jürgen Ellefsen, who did Sometimes. So Uncle Jürgen's back, but he's only got a couple of cuts here and there. Oh, he did co-write What You See Is What You Get, so...
Oh, wow, light and shade there.
Yeah, let me do a banger, just to switch things up, you know. I'm not all Mr. Soft and Smoochie.
Britney, I don't want you to get the wrong idea about me. This was awarded with biggest 1 week sales of an album ever by a female artist. Incredible. And Albums Artist of the Year. Two huge awards there. at the Billboard Music Awards 2000. And then in the Guinness World Records 2001, fastest selling album by a teenage solo artist.
It's really incredible. So the first week sales for Britney's second album did 1.319 million copies in the United States. That was the fastest selling album by a female artist and largest first week sales for a female album for about 15 years.
They couldn't keep the stocks shelved quickly enough in Woolies and HMV.
Yeah, it was only like Britney held this record until Adele's 25 came around, and that was in 2015. So,
bloody you know, Adele.
I mean, yeah, it just kind of goes to show how rare it is. So Britney was really doing her thing. You know, this album would go on to sell 20 million worldwide. And it's the second album to be certified diamond, second Britney album to be certified diamond, making her the youngest artist to have multiple diamond albums. Again, she was only, what, 18, 19 when the second album came out. So really, truly, just to put into context again, as if you don't know, Britney was it at this time. So,
absolutely.
And still is.
And still, and always will be. So this album debuted at number one in over 20 countries, David. Went to number two, though, in Australia. Number one on the European Top 100 albums. Number one in France, in Germany, in Greece, in Hungary. Number three in Ireland. What were you thinking? Number five in Italy. Number four in Japan. Number two in Malaysia. Number two in New Zealand. And number one on the Scottish albums charts. Number two here in the UK. What the hell were we thinking?
What were you thinking, Joel?
I got it in Woolworths much later because I got the UK special edition. Number one.
What was on that?
Girl in the Mirror.
You held out from helping Britney chart high on her first week. Just
I knew
Girl
something
in the
was
mirror.
Coming. I knew something was. I was looking in the mirror and I was like,
I have a premonition.
I'm going to wait.
Yeah, that's so JB.
It's the future I can see. And number one on the US Billboard 200.
In the summertime, starting in June, Britney goes on her Oops, I Did It Again tour across North America. So at this time already, literally, the album's just come out. She's done her Today Show performance, which I guess would be to plug the tour as well as the album.
So July 2000, we have Loke.
Joel, what do you think of this song?
David Lim, this is one of the most confusing songs of our childhoods.
Why? Did she not make it clear she was playing a character?
Yeah, she did, but
this song is about a girl called Loke. That's what she says in the beginning.
Not
Britney. Yeah.
Yes, she clearly tells us this is a story about a girl named Lucky. But it's just so confusing. It's like, you know, this sugary, sweet-sounding song with such a dark narrative.
It is quite haunting, isn't it, looking back? Yeah. It's a very clever way to conceptually draw parallels with her own celebrity life and her own difficult relationship with fame, let's just say, without making it too woe is me or making it too heavy. And also, her younger fans would just not take to it. Whereas if you create this fictitious character about this girl who's got this fabulous life, this celebrity, it kind of takes the pressure of Britney a little bit, only a little bit, but that way she's playing the story of the storyteller.
Now, you were a little bit older than me at this time. What were your thoughts of it when it came out?
Joel, to be honest, it's not my least favourite.
It's not a bit of you, is it?
No, it's not my least favourite Britney song, but it's the one that I'm always like,
you
okay.
Wouldn't listen to it at the gym.
No, but I will tell you this, though. It was an undeniable hit in the school playground because the minute the word lucky comes up, people start singing it.
Yeah. It's like a sellable, it is like children's playground storytelling, isn't it, as well?
Yeah.
The song.
You know, I always remember seeing the music video first for this song. And I thought, fucking hell, this is like huge budget. Oh, Britney's acting.
So this music video is directed by Dave Myers and portrays Britney as a melancholy movie star called Lucky, who just wants to have some fun in her life. Although we have Lucky, but we also see Britney herself kind of watching Lucky in the shadows.
And sort of narrating it. And
narrating, I mean, making it a fairy tale.
I mean, is this the first Britney, multiple Britney video that we see? You know, where she's playing...
Britney Multiverse of Madness.
Yeah, this is the origin story of the Britney Multiverse of Madness. You know, we'll get it in Womanizer later. We'll get it in Toxic. So, you know, it's all, yeah, it's very exciting.
Even as clear as Britney had made it, I think she sent, I mean, and rightly so, I think she sent a wave of young kids in panic about our Brit, though. I was worried. Because where does Britney end and Lucky begin? This could have been an actual movie. This could have been The Parent Trap meets Princess Switch. So there could have been this whole real high drinks, this normal everyday Southern Belle, this huge A-list Oscar-winning movie star. You look just like me. You look just like me.
Does your mole move?
They switch. Yeah.
Oh, honey, this is fake. I painted on. Some movie director told me it would make me a star.
And yeah, just, you know, high drinks ensues. If she had been allowed to do more acting, she really could have been. I mean, she is a brilliant actress anyway, but she really does have the raw chops there. Because now we allow it. Like, we have Lady Gaga being in the running for an Oscar with A Star Is Born. I just feel like we weren't there in the 2000s.
Yeah, I think she was just kept on a very strict machine schedule of releasing albums, touring, promoting, and then, you know, back again, back again. It's a miracle we got Crossroads.
But she did give us some beautiful live performances. As you've already mentioned, the Today Show, stunning live vocals. And then she did a Top of the Pops performance, David, with her hair and makeup really is giving 50s or 60s film star. Absolutely gorgeous. And in a real meta move of this time, there's a cutaway of the audience and there's Britney watching Britney in the audience.
That shows effort and that shows care. We appreciate that.
We love that.
Kat Dealey's in the dressing room being like, oh my God, when is this going to be done? How long are we shooting with Britney?
Oh, always never enough time with our Brit. So, Davo, this went in and peaked at number 3 in Australia.
Wow, we were loving it in the playground.
Yeah, that playground. It was the original viral hit on playgrounds. Number 5 in Scotland and number 5 here in the UK. Again, number 1 on the UK indie charts and number 23 on the US Billboard Hot 100, but number 9 on the US mainstream top 40. Let's go to October 2000, Stronger. Now, David, before we even talk about anything, I want to put it out there straight up top. That yes, this song is really successful, but I would argue that it's one of Britney's more underrated songs. I just don't feel like people talk about this song and music video as much as they should compared to everything else.
They really should be talking about this much more because this is like top 3 Britney for me. This is an anthem, and I think every time I listen to it still to this day, it just still feels fresh. It feels like a really powerful performance because it is. I become a different person when I hear the air horn intro. It's like, oh, Demon Twink, here we go.
Air horn, that opens with the Nespresso coffee machine sound anthem. I hear, boom, on my pod.
JB's activated. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, your flatmate must love that every morning.
Well, it's better when I do it at work with my colleagues. I've got an audience.
So I really do feel this should have been the second single because it deserves like big second single energy. I think it would have helped push the album up to a new audience as well and really just help us get to know Britney as this strong, fierce diva because we've not had fierce, strong diva Britney as yet.
Mm.
Joel, can we talk about the music video? Because this is a diva.
So here we go. Joseph Kahn, one of my favourite directors, has entered the chat. I believe this is his first music video with Britney, first of many.
And she kept saying in the behind the scenes how much she's enjoying working with Joseph. It's like probably her favourite video yet or favourite video director. It seems like, yeah, they have that rapport quite early on. And he said that the video concept was actually Britney's. You know, she wanted to be in a scene where, you know, she's breaking up with a guy who is cheating on her with some other girl in a club and then just go from there. But, and also Britney's idea was, you know, really, Britney is a big Janet fan. I think if you don't know that already, you should. Like, she loves Janet Jackson. So the idea of her dancing solo with a chair, it was referencing Janet's The Pleasure Principle. That scene of her just dancing solo with a chair is like one of the most memorable video shots of her discography, right?
She had a black room, a chair, a cane, and a dream to serve. Britney in the car having a drive. It just is all so powerful.
It made sense that there were so many performance shots of her just by herself. And I was just watching back today the car scene. I was like, God, I forgot how dramatic it was with the lightning striking, the special effects, even that scene where she gets out of the car in the middle of the storm, rain pouring down on her, and then suddenly the water changes direction and the rain droplets are coming towards you on the screen.
Oh, my God.
That is cinema.
And with all that, it is just such brilliant work that it should be referenced more. It should be a go-to Britney music video. And maybe I'm completely wrong, but I just don't feel like people consider this a classic Britney music video. I'm sure I used to have, right, an inflatable chair, but it was like a Simpsons branded red inflatable chair with Homer Simpson on it. I'm just hoping I didn't do that, try and emulate that dance routine with the inflatable chair.
It would be very hard, yeah.
It would have popped. Joe, what happened to your Simpsons chair? Dancing to Britney, it popped.
Your mum comes into the living room and you're just throwing the chair across the room.
She'd just go, oh, he loves his Britney. We also have, while the other B-sides have fit quite well, we now have a yin and yang B-side, Walk On By, as also recorded by Gareth Gates, and the one and only ballad on JB1.
Okay, Joel, this is the best B-side we're going to talk about today. I know you like the others, but this to me...
Oh, I love this one.
It's giving me everything I need. It's a great pop bop. A bit emotional, a bit wistful. It's got a key change. It's written by Uncle Jürgen Ellefsen again, of Sometimes fame.
David, we got some brilliant, stronger performances. This performance at the American Music Awards was a huge spectacular. It's almost like a Rocky prelude to the VMA's Slay For You performance. And you've got Britney in jeans and a nice top. It's a little top with one arm that is flary, you know, typical like Britney dangly in a certain way. We don't need reminding, but it's performances like that that you go, that right there is a once in a lifetime performer. And this really does live in the shadow of some other performances, but it is incredible. In 2023, just last year, Stronger was ranked at number 37 on Rolling Stone's The 50 Most Inspirational LGBTQ Songs of All Time list.
Love that. That it's become a pride anthem because, yeah, who can't relate to that, really? It's, and I think Britney really likes this song. You know, I was watching some of the, you know, making the video stuff that she did, and she seemed to really resonate with the lyrics, and it was an important one for her to express, I think. So
let's talk about charts, Davo. So in your homeland of Australia, this peaked at number 13, but number five on the Australian
dance. Sorry. Oh my God. I should have got my ass out to Kmart and bought it. Yeah.
You should have. You absolutely should have. I believe the next single didn't get a release in Australia, and you're probably the sole reason why. Six in Scotland, seven here in the UK.
What so were you actually, thinking, Joel?
Well, number seven's a lot higher than Australia, thank you. But it was number six in Ireland and seven in UK. It's rare that we see it that way round. So good on you, Ireland. Thank you for that. Number 11 in the US on the Billboard Hot 100. So that is a lot higher than Lucky.
Yeah, because I feel like maybe depending on where she was on her tour, she was able to give it a promo push. Maybe there were like TV performances, as she said, the AMAs. Maybe that helped give this song that drive. But also, speaking of UK, just to come back here, I was really shocked there was number seven because I could have sworn this was like a huge, huge international hit. But I looked at when it was actually released here. It was in December, like in the weeks leading up to Christmas. Two bigger new entries that week. In at number one, Eminem, Stan.
Ugh. Ugh.
Number two, Bob the Builder, Can We Fix It?
Oh, love
Future
Bob.
Future number one. Yeah, go on then, Bob. You're exempt. That's cool. Number three, your fave, S Club 7, Never Had a Dream Come True. That was already in the charts. Number four was Destiny's Child, Independent Women. Number five was Leanne Rimes, Can't Fight the Moonlight. Number six, Baha Men, Who Let the Dogs Out. Like, that is a solid number one to seven that week on the charts.
We loved that. Was that a big hit in Australia? Who let the dogs out? Who?
So again, this is why I feel mad that Stronger wasn't the second single, because it could have cleared if it was released earlier in the year, I think.
Yeah, it literally would have been like Moses and parted the seas and gone.
It's like that air horn siren in the beginning. All the other new releases just scatter off the charts.
So, Davo, let's talk about June till November 2000. Britney goes on her first world tour, the Oops, I Did It Again tour. So, America, no stranger to it. So, this is their third tour, those lucky buggers. But here in Europe, it is the first time we are getting to see Britney Jean Spears live in concert. Interestingly, I found out that for the European leg of the tour, Britney was going to do a co-headlining tour with NSYNC following their No Strings Attached tour. But Britney ended up doing it solo. She did not need those boys. Like, this was a huge, big Britney Spears show. If I'm perfectly honest, So, guys, I went to this tour. I think at this point I'd never even heard of NSYNC. Depending on where you saw them in the world, these are some of the support acts you could have had. Together, now that might be a niche reference, but MTV parody boy band, Comedy Gold. Aaron Carter, absolute legend, may he rest in peace. My absolute faves, the 18s. BB Mac, Don Philip, Dream, Innocence, Michaela, Nobody's Angels, PYT, and Sister, our Aussie fave sister duo.
Oh my God, incredible. And we've talked about this on our Aussie special before. What a treat it was. We need to get Sister to Sister on sometime to talk about it, because that was like such an incredible opportunity, which they seem to be really living for it, and it's perfect for the audience.
I mean, that is a night of dreams. So 9-year-old me seeing Britney incredibly excited at the London Arena, which isn't there anymore. From my 9-year-old memory, I was in the very back row and having the very best time. Unfortunately, I have no recollection of the support acts, even if we got there in time for them.
Who'd you go with?
Went with my sister Faye, my sister Kylie, probably Elise as well. But as that middle of the three sisters, sometimes she was a bit too cool for school to be coming to those. Although she did come to Steps, which I think I've spoken about on the pod before, and cried her eyes out the whole concert because she'd just gone through a breakup.
Oh, God. You are only a heartbreak away. Change the lyrics just for you there, babes.
Some people going through a real hard time right now in the audience. So yeah, all of us, I think my sister Faye's boyfriend at the time, where my oldest sister Faye is 14 years older than me, she really had that like cool older sister that would take you to these exciting things.
Was that one of your first concert experiences?
One of the early ones, yeah. Well, around this time it was real. We're so lucky enough to have gone to the Spice World tour. Went to see Boyzone live in concert, which was actually really good fun. Went to see Bewitched live in concert. Went to see Rugrats live tour at Wembley Arena.
Wow.
I mean, Rugrats live at Wembley Arena, can you believe? Britney and Steps, obviously. I feel like those are All Saints as well, all in this short period of time. The only thing I can really remember, apart from generally being blown away by Britney, is can remember the kids from the audience getting a chance to be, to potentially meet Britney. Obviously, absolutely livid that that isn't me. They're doing the shout out before the show. You know, Britney's looking out for some people she's going to pick. And even me in the very back row is thinking, she might pick me.
That section of the show was so funny. So this London show, and I don't know which one you went to, maybe it was the one they filmed for Sky One. They're bringing these people up on stage and you have to do like a few challenges, basically. And within this section, NSYNC pops up on the screens to be giving the fans on stage their missions. So it's all these pre-recorded messages. And I'm like, people are going crazy. Ah, it's NSYNC. Ah. But that was how close the synergy was between these two artists.
To us, we don't think of it for a second as a kid's, but it's just pure promotion, cross promotion. It's the 2000s equivalent of a collab post. But Davo, so you've sat at home and watched it. What were the highlights for you on this tour?
I will say, first and foremost, really good to hear Britney singing live, especially on some of the ballads, which I know we all love the bangers, but when she sings From the Bottom of My Broken Heart, when you get to hear that, like, just kind of sit down with an acoustic guitar, that is really special. Also, she does Born to Make You Happy, which I don't think she does very much on tour.
Yeah. Well, that was a UK number one, David.
Also, it's so funny with this performance because it starts with Britney and on a set on stage. It looks like a children's bedroom, all sweet and innocent, fluffy slippers. And then she takes her top off and goes into like a Carnivale dance break with the dancers. It was kind of like, okay,
yeah,
let's bring back the gears.
You had your moment to go for a wee and go to the bar. If you missed out, you missed out.
Poppers exactly, the poppers are out. It's happy hour at Mahiki's. Yeah, like, let's go. What about you? What are some of the highlights for you on this show?
So, yeah, the kids, that is so memorable. And that sort of cartoonish bedroom set, obviously. But they open so strong. Britney, the dancers, in these metallic outfits. And these are, when I think of Britney and her dancers, it's really of this Oops, I Did It Again era. We've got Brian Freeman in there dancing for her. We have Brandon in there, who was a dancer of This Time, and he's now married to Melissa from Dream. He's a dancer in From Justin to Kelly. What I absolutely love about Britney in her original run of tours is that even if the vocals weren't live, you would always get this pre-recorded live sounding vocal. So yeah, the ballads are going to be live, but when she's like going for it, doing Crazy or Baby One More Time, it might not be a live vocal, but it's going to be a vocal that sounds live. And that's what I absolutely love. It's that extra layer of production and showpersonship and giving you something unique.
Also, let's give a shout out to the first three songs on this set. She opens with You Drive Me Crazy, goes into Stronger, and then our album favorite, What You See Is What You Get.
Britney, she's got the pink cowboy hat on. They've gone over to the stairs with a pole on it. And then not only do I just love the use of stairs in pop full stop, but in this show, and I love the stringy bits that come down, that sort of stringy curtain.
I think it was really nice actually watching back, because this was a very whimsical tour, but also like to see her do a cute, slightly kids friendlier show, because that was the stage of her career that she was in. You know, everything after that, we're getting fierce diva Britney, and rightfully so. And we've loved growing up with Britney in that way.
Absolutely. And what I love is it's cemented forever, because yes, there's this London performance, but there's a bunch of official recordings out there from this tour. So you can go and watch different nights. There's Rock in Rio. I want to say there's a Lisbon show. There was Louisiana, a homecoming show.
For that one, it had a Wizard of Oz theme because it's Kansas or whatever. You know, there's no place like home was the intro, and had the hurricane from Wizard of Oz in there, and her, all her like press clippings from the years. So it's kind of telling the story of like, this is your girl, homecoming.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So huge, huge world tour, monumental successful album. Shania Twain has entered the chat.
Here in March 2001, we have the fourth and final single from the album, Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know. We didn't get it in Australia. Thanks for confirming that, because I thought, I was like, did I just miss this?
You all didn't go out and get the last one into the ARIA top 10. So they said, why will we bother?
Come on.
This was a single here in the UK. I am going to have a chart for you on the UK official charts and the UK indie charts. But let's not get ahead of ourselves.
And also, I have a copy of this under my bed. So I do make up for it sometime later, Britney.
By you being know. Gifted a free one.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Is that from like Track by Track Dan's original collection?
Yeah. Wow. Yes.
Yes. Shout out to Dan. Yeah, that's the original haul there. I hope we're all referred to our fellow pop podcasters like that, like it was in Smash Hits, you know, like John S. Club. Dan Track by Track. All I can dream of being is Joel Right Back Pod to someone.
You already are, darling.
Let's talk about that single cover, because we are in the Britney era. That is Britney, Britney on that cover.
Yeah, you're right, because... okay, no, you're right.
Slave for You's just later this year.
The hair is already there. The makeup is already there. But I think... Oh, God, we're going to talk about the music video. So, yeah, she really is preparing us for what's to come, isn't she?
So, song. Shania...
Robert Mutt Lange, yes, he's the main producer. You know, Britney really wanted to sing on this second album. She told Billboard at the time, with the first album, I didn't get to show off my voice. The songs were great, but they weren't very challenging. This song is incredible, she says. It's going to surprise people in the best way. So I felt like, yeah, that was some of the briefs, some of the conversations going on with her A&R team. Look, I really want to sing. Like, let me sing. Because I'm tired of these girls coming up and, you know, yes, we love Jessica Simpson. Yes, we love Christina Aguilera. They've got powerful vocals. But it's just like, hang on a minute. I can hold my own.
Do you think this was a song that Shania had worked on and didn't want? Or do you think they wrote this for a teen pop star in mind?
I have a feeling... Because Mutt Lange, obviously at the time, was married to Shania. I think they wrote a bunch of songs, because we've seen songs that Shania didn't use end up on Celine Dion's album. this album and maybe this one fit the brief.
I just think it is a gorgeous song. It's one that you can really be belty and sing along to.
The chorus is incredible. Her vocals are brilliant on this. But also, Joel, I've discovered in recent years the music video for this, which I think if you're coming retrospectively like me as a Britney fan and you've seen her do like sexier videos, it's not that much of a shock. But I do wonder at the time if you're following it in real time. Here she is caressing this bloke on a beach in the water in the ocean, being a bit sexy. He's topless. I mean, what are you going to think?
It feels like in the album campaign for Oops, I Did It Again, from Oops, I Did It Again to this, in a short space of time, she's grown up so much, which you do in your teen years. A year from like 18 to 19 or 19 to 20, they are big milestones.
It's almost like Britney had specific cornerstones she wanted to address with the second album. One is she wanted to have more input, which it feels like from watching them making the videos and stuff, like her briefs, her references were being heard and they were the ones being put forward and that was what was happening. She was more involved creatively. I found out today that it was directed by the legendary Herb Ritts. Now, Herb, sometimes I forget Herb directed...
Uncle Herb.
Yeah, Uncle Herb. Sometimes I forget that Herb directed music videos because I kind of see him more as like the iconic fashion photographer. But then I remember, yeah, he did the video for Janet's Love Will Never Do Without You and Mariah's My All. Like these are beautiful, beautiful music videos. Like you can watch that in any quality, whether it's shot on a potato or HD and be like, that is fucking beautiful. The lighting... Everything is captured beautifully. Our Herb, who is, rest his soul, a gay man, he knew how to capture male beauty, let me tell you.
Oh my God, yeah. So it's the on-screen boyfriend, French model, Bryce Durand.
I tried to look him up on Instagram. I mean, that didn't come up with anything. But my first was like...
His DMs just from @LoveLimmy. Hey.
Apparently, Britney said yes to Herb doing the video because, again, she's a big Janet fan. And she wanted to reference that Janet video that I mentioned, Love Will Never Do Without You. So do you remember watching this video as a baby girl at the time?
I think I saw this video probably for the first time when I got the DVD for Greatest Hits, My Prerogative, because that's when I was tapped in more than ever to Britney. I remember I didn't have Sky or anything, so it was really hard to see music videos unless you had it on video or DVD.
So Herb said that Britney wanted to do something fresh. There was one outfit, no dancing, and that meant that it was all boiled down to her. She had to really act the song and she was very impressive, he said. But what a fun day. But do you know who it wasn't fun for? Justin Timberlake.
Lynn didn't love it and Justin didn't love it, but I'm sorry, that's their problem. Britney's a huge bloody star and she's doing what she wants to do.
Yeah, so apparently the original cut was a bit racier. God knows what they were doing. And Lynn was like, no, those bits need to come out. Like, yeah. We can't have
I'm
that.
Sorry, Lynn. What part of the creative team are you specifically?
I'm the ma'am. Are you the ma'am? I'm the ma'am.
So, Devo, this peaked at number 12 here in the UK, but number 3 in the UK indie singles charts. And considering, you know, this is the next year, it's the 4th single, it's very impressive. We'd had 2 releases of Oops, I Did It Again at this point. We did the original release and a special edition. So a lot of people had the album. Number 1 in Romania. Bloody hell, good on you, Seb.
Thank you, Seb. Oh my God.
34 in Canada, 3 in Croatia. Love that.
So sorry, it wasn't released in the US?
It was released to radio in the US.
See, they didn't believe in it.
Well, justice for Don't Let Me Be the Last to Know. And maybe that's why Britney wanted to do that on the Femme Fatale tour. It's like, here's sort of like, if I'm going to do throwback, I'm going to do Hidden Gem. Brilliant. Well, Devo, before we leave this completely, In April 2001, Britney released the novel A Mother's Gift by Britney and Lynn Spears.
I've not thought about this in such a long time, but I remember it being referenced in interviews and like smash hits coverage at the time. I was like, Britney's writing a book? It's like, it's fiction. I was like, oh my God, is there anything this woman can't do?
No. I feel like this was really more for the man.
It was Lynn's passion project, really. And she needed a vehicle to get it out. So she put her daughter's name on it. And
she's like, Britney, you could call it, as a gift to me, you could call it A Mother's Gift.
Whatever you want, mommy.
whilst I have not read the book, David, in 2004, it was adapted into the TV movie Brave New Girl, named after the Britney in the Zone album track, which I have seen several times.
I did not know this was a
thing.
Maybe
we'll do a double bill. We'll watch Crossroads and Brave New Girl.
And I didn't know that album track was so prominent that it got a thing named after it.
Britney's not in it. To manage expectations, Britney's not in it.
Sorry, to manage expectations, I did not agree to doing a standalone Crossroads episode.
No, but it's going to be part of the next album.
Okay, good. Okay, I thought you just meant that, like, yeah, we're doing a standalone Crossroads.
But I'm saying Brave New Girl is part of the In The Zone rollout. So we have a major motion picture per album.
Love the research for that. So yes, thanks for being part of our planning meeting, guys.
Yes, a podcast listener's gift is leave us a lovely 5-star review. I'm so happy that we have got in the Oops, I Did It Again tour bus and celebrated this fabulous era for Britney. But guys, it's been brilliant. I hope you've loved it. Let us know what your favourite tracks are from this album. You have been listening to Right Back At You, the 2000s pop music podcast. You can follow us at Right Back Pod on all social platforms. Hit that subscribe button, leave us a lovely 5-star review. Email our hearts at rightbackpod@gmail.com. And you can follow me at Dr_JoelB. And you can follow him at
@LoveLimmy.
Until next time, bye.